Ted Conover takes his job seriously. As a journalist, he's lived the life of an illegal alien and a hobo on the rail. Recently, he spent a year undercover, guarding one of the nation's oldest and most notorious prisons, Sing Sing. His book, New Jack, is an eyewitness account of America's penal system. He told Steve Paulson what it was like being a CO, a corrections officer.
Prison really is like a totalitarian society. It's run purely on the basis of rules that somebody dreamed up, and the rules are enforced differently by every officer. So there's this constant gray area about which rules will be enforced and which won't. And every encounter with an inmate over the rules boils down to a sort of power transaction. Who's going to win? I asked you to lock in right now. Are you going to lock in? Yes, CO, I'm getting to it. Second time. You said you were going to, I'm going in, CO. He'll go in. But if I say, hey, how come you're not in your cell? He'll say, don't yell at me, CO. And he'll push back. And
So being tougher is not necessarily the best response.
No, it often is the wrong response, particularly if you get upset. The one day I got hit at Sing Sing was the day I told an inmate to shut up. You'd think. I mean, common sense tells you that in prison, an officer should be able to say, shut up, now and then.
So what happened?
The inmate I was speaking with was a keep lock, which means he'd committed disciplinary infractions and was confined to his cell. A lot of keep locks, they can't come out. The people around them come out. They get very upset. They get negative attitudes. And I was working on his floor for the first time. This is common among new jacks or rookies. You get placed, you know, where the older officers don't want to go. You're basically the substitute teacher for this huge classroom of dangerous and unruly students. And he said, CO, you talked to the sergeant yet? You tell him I wanted to see him? And I said, yeah, I called the sergeant for you. He doesn't want to see you now. He said, and I guess maybe there was some attitude in my voice. I don't know. He doesn't want to see me now. And it deteriorated from there. You know, he wasn't being nice. He said, Cracker, get back upstate. What you doing down here in the big city? Obviously, there's a lot of racial stuff that goes on in prison.
The guards are basically white and the inmates are either black or Latino.
Yeah, 90%+ of the inmates are black or Latino. And the guards, because most of the prisons are upstate, that's who applies for those jobs. So I didn't take that very well. You know, he would yell it every time I came by and I finally told him to shut up. When you show your anger, the reaction spreads down the line. So the inmates on either side of his cell are going, oh, CO told him to shut up. You hear that, man? You hear that? Yeah, I heard. Who is that guy? I mean, it just, you get all of them against you at a certain point if you're not temperate. You know, it got to be a chorus of people giving me a hard time. And the leader would use his mirror to watch for my approach.
He was sticking the mirror out of his
exactly.
cell and watching you
watching,
in another cell.
Watching to see when I would be coming down the gallery toward his cell so he could, you know, get things started. That's allowed. This is a perfect illustration of prison rules. It's allowed for him to hold the mirror up. But the minute he rested the mirror on his bar so he didn't have to hold it, he broke a rule. And I saw my chance. That's what prison's like. It's full of these silly little rules. I took the mirror, fully in my rights to do so. He was furious. He starts yelling at me as I walk away. I say, too bad. But I made a terrible miscalculation. I had to walk back by the cell 5 or 10 minutes later. And I thought, well, he's not going to see me coming. But someone must have told him. And he spit, caught me on the side of the face, and then swung at me. He was not a tall guy. I didn't think his arm was long enough. But he connected behind my ear.
This is through the bars?
Through the bars. His arm, you know, his arm could stretch out through the bars, and he got me.
So did you get harassed a lot? I mean, if not physically, just did people yell lots of stuff at you?
Not normally. It's interesting. Mostly, you know, inmates want things to run smoothly. It's the only explanation for the fact that a single officer can supervise 60 maximum security felons, and that officer can even be a female sometimes with male inmates, and not get beat up. Because, you know, you would imagine if they had their chance, someone would take a swing at you. But They don't, and it's a big riddle why.
But aren't most of the inmates behind bars during
all
of this?
Well, that's the thing. They're only behind bars for a short period of the day. They have to come out of their cells to go eat in the mess hall. They all come out at once on each floor. Then they go back in their cells. Then they come out again for the morning recreation period. They all go to the gym or the yard, or, you know, if they're still working for their GED, they go to the school in a group. So generally, no, they're not in their cells. They're in groups, or they're coming and going from the cells and sort of pushing against you as they squeeze by on these narrow passageways outside their cell. So they're typically out.
And you're saying in a lot of those times there's only one guard among all of the, among 60 inmates?
The worst case scenario, there's supposed to be an officer for each side of the floor. But often the second officer disappears. You don't know really where they've gone. They're supposed to go to the mess hall and then come back. Sometimes they don't come back. And if the mess hall releases two galleries at a time, that is, if they send everybody back at once, it can be 110 inmates and you, which is a very frightening situation until you realize that most of the time, nothing at all happens. And the reason, I think, was best explained by the sergeant at the training academy. He said, we rule with their consent. I mean, the minute he left the room, the officer teaching us said, well, I don't know where he worked, but where I'm a CO, we run things. But, you know, that sergeant was a tough character. He'd been held hostage. He'd spent a lot of time in the system. And I think what he was getting at is that on any given floor, at any given minute, the inmates could take over, because the officers are spread thin, and that's the reason for gates in a prison, to keep disturbances contained. As if 60 inmates start to riot, that's quite different from 120, 180, the whole building of 600 inmates. So when there's disorder also, that's when inmates get hurt. You know, during riots, that's when inmates even scores. Occasionally, officers get hurt in those situations, but usually it's the inmates who suffer. So they sort of have a stake in wanting things to run smoothly, which seems so odd. If you picture a colony of men locked up against their will, and yet, you know, at a point, I guess they accept that this is where they are, and they'd rather not get hurt, and so they don't hurt you.
Were there times when you got really scared?
Sure, like every single morning at 6:30 a.m.
It was really fun to go to work.
And I'm not exaggerating. When I put on my uniform every morning, I would be scared. And it's because I knew that in the hours, the 8.5 hours ahead of me, I would be involved in confrontations. You know, hopefully just verbal confrontations. I'd keep my cool. Everything would work out fine. But all around you is the evidence that even among seasoned officers, things don't work out fine. The first day I entered the prison, I met an officer who'd had his nose broken the day before in a fight in the yard, and he had 20 years on the job. You just know sooner or later you're just going to push somebody's button on the wrong day.
And you never know when it's going to happen.
You don't know. And it might be your own intemperance. It could just be an inmate, inexplicably angry. So I was scared every single day, and to deal with it, I think I repressed the fear. You know, I just said, I'm going to pretend it's going to be okay, and it will be okay, because you know that if you go in looking scared, all is lost.
Did you ever lose your cool and go off and smack an inmate?
There was a day when I was supervising in the psych unit. My job was to accompany inmates in isolation cells to a meeting with their counselors and stand behind them during the meeting to protect the staff in case the inmate did something weird. And after that meeting one day, this inmate, who was sort of catatonic, stood up and disregarded my instruction to return to his cell and instead headed for an open gate that led to all the offices of the nurses. And I said, you know, stop right there. And He no effect at all. He stopped even to take a drink. Again, it's as usual, it's an inmate who's much bigger than me. Then I tried one of these Aikido grips we were taught in the academy. So, you know, back in the academy, it was very painful when we did it to each other, but it had no effect on this guy at all. And I felt so stupid. Here, I'm trying to grab his hand and twist it under his shoulder. And he's like, who's this gnat holding onto my arm? And the experienced officer who was manning the gate knew what to do, grabbed him, put a hand around his throat, held him against the wall, and with his other hand starts punching the guy. I couldn't believe it. We were told never to punch them, but here he is, and it's working, actually, because the guy has stopped walking. It wasn't resolved until a third officer, one of the giant officers that you really try to make friends with for moments like this, came from the stairwell and joined us, and the three of us put him back in his cell. And when it was done, this is the strangest thing, I was thrilled. It was so exciting, and it was the first use of force I'd had.
Well, what you're describing is a moment of catharsis.
Yeah.
I mean, here, there's been all this frustration. You're getting all this abuse. So you're getting people who refuse to cooperate, not all the time, but some of the time. And finally, you get to take it out on someone.
Right, right. And you might get hurt, but it is thrilling. And this is one of the sort of things I'd hope to find out by working in a prison. And, I feel bad admitting it because I don't like to think this is a part of me, but it is. At some level, our minds are all connected to our bodies, and after a certain point, frustration really does grow, particularly in a prison. Every day there's just scores of unresolved insults traded or difficult moments, disrespect. Respect is such a big deal in prison. As an officer, you're disrespected a lot.
Ted Conover is the author of New Jack, Guarding Sing Sing. He spoke with Steve Paulson.